And I want you to look again. There's a very, very familiar text to everybody, I'm sure, in this room. And you'll notice again in verse 16, it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Now, as familiar and quoted as this verse is to all of us here, it's also very unfortunate that the first word of this verse is often overlooked or just forgotten. You notice the first word is the word "for." And you know what? The word "for" is a reminder that this text was not intended to necessarily stand alone. It is, as many proverbs are, the second part of a very important couplet. So let's read the entire thought, beginning with verse 15. It says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." In other words, God is issuing a warning to the wicked man, not necessarily just for his sake, as for the righteous' sake. It's not likely that that many wicked people, unrighteous people, unbelievers are going to read verse 15, much less heed it. But for sure, for our admonition and for our sake, God says to the wicked, "I'm warning you. I am warning you not to ambush or to attack my people, those who are mine." Verse 15 again, "Lay not wait." See, that's laying out a snare, an ambush. "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place." This is the first part of the truth that God wants us to know about, that he's warning them on our behalf. Now look at the second part again. The reason they shouldn't lie in wait against the people of God. "For the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." By the way, first part of that verse, some years ago I wrote the Apostle Peter, "A just man falleth seven times." The last part of the verse, "The wicked shall fall in the mischief," I wrote that, the name of Judas. And you know, folks, if you go through the book of Proverbs and you compare and you contrast all of the scriptures concerning the righteous versus the wicked, you will see that it's not a contrast between those who never are knocked down, who are never knocked down, who never fall, and those who are often knocked down and those who often fall. No, because the righteous are indeed knocked down. They do find themselves in troubles and trials. The difference is, in these contrasts, that with the righteous, they get back up. They are, as Proverbs says, delivered. And specifically, they are delivered out of trouble. You know, delivered, I was going to do this tonight, but for time's sake, I changed my mind. Delivered is one of the favorite words of Solomon himself throughout this book and others. The Hebrew word for delivered literally means kalat. It means to pull up, to pull out. That's interesting because the English word deliver comes from two French words, de and libre, which means to set at liberty, to liberate. And of course, what Solomon is referring to is somebody who falls. They trip and they fall down into a pit or into a trap, a snare. They've fallen, but they've been pulled up out of it. They have been delivered. They have been liberated from that trouble. Verse 16, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." In other words, it doesn't say that a just man never stumbles, that he never falls, that he never needs deliverance. What he says, beloved, is when he falls, he always, always rises again. This, of course, in fact, is one of the great themes of the entire Bible. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." He said, "We are persecuted, but not in despair." He said, "We are perplexed," all of these things, "but not persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down," he said, "but not destroyed." When I was a boy, there was a children's show called Romper Room. And you know what? I hated that show. I never watched it. But my sister used to watch it. And on that show, they had these things called bop bags. And these bop bags had the face of Bozo. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, all the gray-haired folks. They had a face of Bozo the Clown. And basically, it was a big punching bag. And on that punching bag, you would knock it. And it would always, you know, it would pop back up. My little sister got one of those for Christmas or birthday or something. I don't remember. And I liked it because Bozo had this little target right here in his chest. And the idea, of course, was to bop the target and it would go down and then pop right back up. And, you know, she's a girl. Girls hit the target. They bop the target. But she had two older brothers. And you know what? We didn't bop. We boxed that thing's ears. Matter of fact, when she wasn't around, we took our plastic bat to it more than once. You know, Shakespeare said these violent delights have violent ends. And so, you know, we're boys. What can I say? But one thing I remember about this bozo bop bag was that it had a big smile on its face. Annoyed me. Annoyed all of us. It was always smiling. But that's understandable, right? Because the designer of that thing, that idea, knew that no matter how many times you knocked it down, it would always get back up. In fact, even if you held its knee, your knee on its neck and held it down and pummeled it, not that I speak from experience, it still would ultimately rise up again. And so obviously that's why it had a perpetual smile. You know, you'll notice in verse 16 it doesn't say how long the just man stays down. It just says that he falls seven times. If he falls seven times, then he'll rise seven times. Seven, obviously, is of great significance to those who are students of Scripture because you know it's the Bible's number for completion, for perfection. The seventh day, God rested. Jesus said to forgive 70 times seven. He didn't mean that once you get to 490, you stop. He's showing that it's number of completion so that what God is saying here is that the just don't just fall down. Yes, they stumble. The just do, in fact, fall. But ultimately, he will always rise again. The first time he falls down, as David did when he lied to Ahimelech, he rises up again. The second time he falls down, as David did when he fled to Gath, he rises up again. The third time that he falls down, as David did against Nabal, he rises up again. The fourth time he trips and stumbles, as David did by deceiving the Philistine king, he rises up again. The fifth time he falls, as David did by missing the battle and all that came from that, he rises up again. The sixth time that he falls down, as David did by numbering the people, he rises up again. The seventh time that he falls down, as David did before the ark, he rises up again. A just man, yes. He may be bruised by the fall, and he doesn't want to fall, and he should avoid the fall. But when he falls, he may be down for a while. But a just man, God says, falleth seven times and riseth up again. To the wicked, he says, don't lay a snare. Don't lay a trap. You may trip him up, and he may fall seven times, the perfect number, the complete number, but he'll rise up again. And of course, after that seventh, that final completion of falling, the last enemy, the Bible says, is death. Guess what? He's still going to rise, and then he's going to rise, and being in God's Sabbath, that seventh rest, he'll never, ever fall again. I want to admonish you and myself. At the beginning of a year, a lot of us in this room are going to trip up. We're going to stumble. The wicked are going to lay a snare. You're going to fall into some device. I just want to admonish you that everybody falls. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has disappointments. Everybody has problems. And sometimes they will cause you to trip and to fall. Everybody, every believer in this room is going to face frustrations and circumstances and people this coming year that will try and that will succeed in some cases of tripping you up. You know, there's a teacher up in Michigan who was helping one of her kindergartners put on his winter boots, and she was expecting a child, and so her emotions obviously were running very high, and she bent over and she struggled to put them on, and as she struggled, she realized why then he had asked for help in putting on his winter boots. They were so hard to get on. Finally, when the second boot, struggling, was on, the boy said, "Mrs. Bell, they're on the wrong feet." And so she looked down, and sure enough, they were on the wrong feet. It wasn't much easier pulling them off, but she did. She managed. She kept her cool, and she struggled again, and then she got them back on the right foot, and by now she had broken out in a sweat. She got them on. And then the boy announced, "Mrs. Bell, these are not my boots." Well, she wanted to scream, but you know what? She bit her tongue, and without screaming out the words, "Why didn't you say so?" She bent over again, and she took them off, and struggling all the while. When they came off, she said, "Well, whose boots are these?" And the boy said, "They're my little brother's. My mom made me wear them today." She started to cry, you know, because expecting women are very emotional, and sometimes they cry at little things. In any case, she mustered the patience to bend over and wrestle the boots on again, and when she did, she said, "Now, where's your mittens?" And the little boy said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." You say, "Pastor, are people like that?" in my profession, every single week, people are like that. Sometimes life is frustrating. And sometimes we're the little boy that are the frustrating ones. You know, we spoke this morning about following Christ. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it teach that following the Lord equals a bed of roses. And oftentimes, people and problems will cause us to trip up and to fall. But you see, the key is this. The devil wants you to focus on the falling, and God wants you to focus on the rising. And again, the reason that the designer put that perpetual smile on that clown's face is that the focus on that entire show, that entire little gimmick, was the rising. Indeed, that thing was up a whole lot more than it was ever down. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them from them all. All of them, Pastor? Ultimately, yes, all of them. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's somebody walking along, and you know what? They might get tripped up. Here's what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In other words, God's telling the wicked here in Proverbs that I'm the one who makes sure that they have the ability to rise up again. It's sort of like another children's toy some of you may recall back in the day called Weebles. Remember the commercial in the 70s? In fact, you can finish the sentence. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Right. All the old people in the room just said that. Well, actually, they do fall down. I know because I've taken my little finger and bing, knocked them down, and they go down. But you see, what they mean is, since they don't stay down, we'll call it wobbling. That's why these Weebles, if you remember, you've seen them, right? They always have little smiley faces as well. And so it is that one of the fundamental truths for children of God in this world is that Christians are resilient. They are so resilient that when Rome tried to destroy them with fire and blood, it only became the seed of the churches. And that Christians, through patience and perseverance and prayer and persistence, can always rise up through the grace of God. The saints and all this glorious war shall conquer till they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. See, it's faith. Verse 16 again, let's read the entire context. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. So, look, our enemies are going to fall too, but there's a big difference. God says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. That's what they do when we fall. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men. What are you worried about? Neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. And the candle of the wicked shall be put out. In other words, note this, you don't have to delight and hope in the fall of the wicked, because their candle is going to be put out. One day they're going to fall and never rise again. What a difference between that person and God's promise to you. Oh, Pastor, but you don't know what she did to me. You don't know what he did. You know what he said. He lied to me. I'm so disappointed. You know, I was a bus kid in Federal, North Carolina. We had, that was right outside of Fort Bragg. And so we had a little group of soldiers from the 82nd Airborne that attended our church. And I always hung out with these guys. I was a teenager as much as I could. We would go to Pizza Hut, and I'd follow them just about everywhere in the church. And they were godly guys. Tim was a very strong Christian, and he always told these stories. And he told this one joke, this one story about on the plane, this guy from the South in Louisiana, he was a redneck. On his very first jump, the sergeant said, I want you to listen up. He'd gone through all the instructions before, but they always reiterate it just before they jump. Number one, jump when you're told to jump. Number two, count to 10, and then pull the ripcord. It will open. But if it doesn't open, pull the second ripcord. It will open for the emergency suit. And then when you come down, emergency vehicles will be waiting on the ground. And so the boy waits his turn. He jumps at the command. He counts to 10. He pulls his ripcord. Nothing happens. Panic. I remember what he said. First he said, it will open. He lied. But immediately he pulled the second cord. Nothing. And the boy said, yep. And I bet them trucks ain't going to be down there waiting on the ground for me either. Pastor, I was lied to. I was promised this or guaranteed this. The church disappointed me. You know, there's a church that always puts the sermon titles out on the sign. And one time out in Tennessee, one time it said, sermon, we care about you. And underneath it said, Sunday, 10 a.m. only. Well, you know what? Sometimes it feels like that. Look at verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. And again, verse 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. You don't have to fret. I don't have to fret. We don't have to envy at the wicked whose fall, the Bible says, will be eternal one day without Christ. But with Christ and because of Christ, you're rising up. Your last resurrection from when you fall, the Bible says, is eternal. Here's how Micah the prophet put it. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Now, where did Micah get that? Was that bluster? Was he being like, you know, modern day rap song artist and just throwing out boastings? Yeah, you can mess with me, but I'll be back. No. He was claiming the promise of God. Do not rejoice if I trip or fall, because if I fall, when I fall, he said, I shall arise. You know, I think those are familiar words to that prodigal son who, though he had fallen very hard, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Again, yes, Christians can be knocked down, but we are never resigned to being knocked out. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever heard of a man by the name of Henry Cooper? Anybody? One? Again, all the old guys, Brother Wooster and me. I'll give you a hint. He was a boxer in the 1960s. Henry Cooper in 1963 knocked Cassius Clay down hard to the canvas. It's a prize fight. Cassius Clay was knocked down. But you know what? While Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, was knocked down, Henry Cooper was knocked out. Getting knocked down did not prevent Ali from becoming heavyweight champion, maybe even the greatest boxer of all time. So look, folks, it's not a matter of being on the canvas. You're down, you're not out. You're down, no one ever said, the Bible didn't say you would never get knocked down. Everybody finds himself down on the canvas. A just man falleth. That's a fact. But you know what? The greater fact is that he riseth up again. Boxing. Speaking of boxing, I know it's a brutal sort of carnal sport. Should be outlawed. I hope it will be outlawed, but until it is, I'm going to watch it. Amen? But speaking of boxing, you remember several years ago when George Foreman wanted to make another comeback? He was 55 years of age at that time. And, you know, he shocked the world once when he was 45. 45 years of age, he came out of retirement. He beat 26-year-old Michael Moore. KO'd him. Knocked him out in the 10th round. He won the WBA and the IBF title. But at that time, 10 years later, he was now 55, way out of shape. And it was funny. He'd have these interviews, and he'd say, I know I can't be the prodigal son of boxing while I look like the fatted calf. And he says, I know I can't do this as long as my training camp is Baskin Robbins. Baskin Robbins was his sponsor. He had it on his shirt. He said, but I got one more fight in me. People said he was down and out. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You know what? Now, 67 years of age, he's selling George Foreman grills, making more by a lot than he ever did in boxing. You know, his life verse is a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. He became a Christian. He's a Reverend George Foreman now. He has, what, five sons, and they're all named George. George 1, George 2, George 3, George 4. 1 John 5, 4, the New Testament equivalent of tonight's text in Proverbs. It says this, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, folks, you can go the distance. You can keep the faith. You can finish your course, even though you've been knocked down and maybe many times knocked down. But Pastor, I've failed. I'm finished. No, no, no. You've fallen. But you're never a failure. You're never finished until you quit. So you know what? Just don't quit. You remember the poem? Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye, sad world. And weeping, still he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. And while he wiped his creamy face, he dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while, at least, he said. I've heard, he said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and hopped out via the butter. Only the old people in here understand what that even means, right? I love the old people in here. I'm fast becoming one of them. In other words, look, just don't ever give up. Don't listen to the devil harping on falling down. Listen to God, who's promising your rising up. I mentioned the Bible's term for someone who's a child of God in the New Testament is the word overcomer. Some of you may have read the book titled Pure Gold. The book that was titled Pure Gold became a film called Chariots of Fire. In that story, Harold Abrams lost the 100-meter race for Great Britain in the prelims. This is, of course, for the Olympics. He started listening to all of his critics, and of course the British press is brutal. And they were saying, he's down and he's out, he's done, he's finished. And he believed it. One day his wife saw him up in the stands. He was at the track, he had quit practicing, had his head in his hands. And he said to her, you know what, I probably won't beat Eric Little. And if I won't win, I won't run. And his wife simply said, get out there. Because if you don't run, you can't win. Thankfully, he listened to her, not to them. And of course, in the Paris Olympics in 1924, he won the gold in the 100 meter, and he won the silver in the relay. Just don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the critics. Don't listen to the ones who tripped you up. Don't listen to the ones who mock you after or while you've tripped up and fallen down. There used to be a little sign at Fort Bragg, I mentioned a moment ago, North Carolina. Whereas a 13-year-old, I bagged groceries at a commissary. It was a volunteer job. You didn't get paid. You just got tips. So they call it volunteer. So anybody, almost at any age, I'd be 13. I waited until I was 13 just so I could do that job. And so on my very first day, now this sign that stood at the entrance of the door as you walked in said, get over it, get up, and go again. Typical military stuff, right? On my very first day of bagging groceries, you have to understand, they got paid once a month in the military, and so they would go to the commissary, and they would buy a whole month's worth of food, and it was bags and bags and bags. And you didn't get paid. On my first day, nobody showed me what to do. Nobody told me how to do it. They didn't have carts like you have in Publix. They had these sort of vertical carts, and they had shelves in them like this, and you would put the bags in there like this, sort of like a trolley, and you would cart it out like that. And I had two of them. Nobody told me that you should only take one at a time. I was being a big shot, taking two. And nobody told me that you really have to lay them back because there's a big curb when you left. And when I got to the curb, this lady was expecting. When I got to the curb, boom, they both went forward, eggs and tomatoes. And 13-year-olds, I had little tears. Are you sad for me? Little Jimmy Blalock had tears. And I went to my manager, and I mean, it took me 30 minutes just to get the stuff up and then back, and I destroyed everything. And he just grabbed me and pulled me over, and he showed me that sign. Get over it, get up, and go again. Do you know the birthright of every believer in this room is that if you fall once, you can get up. If you fall twice, get up. Three times, four, five, six, seven, 70 times a seven. A just man falleth and riseth up again. One of the intriguing verses in the Bible to me is one that's found in Jeremiah. I'm going to read it to you. Jeremiah is prophesying, and he's showing what the nation is doing, and then God poses a question to them. He says in Jeremiah chapter 8 these words, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding?" Now wait a minute, you realize what God is saying. He's saying, look, if a man falls down, doesn't he by nature, doesn't he just by instinct, common sense even, get up again? It's one thing to say I've fallen and I can't get up. Life, whatever it is. But to say I've fallen and I won't get up, or worse, I've fallen and I don't know how to get up. God says, will these people thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? In other words, do they not know who they are? How many in this room have ever fallen down? I mean, you've tripped and you fell. I have. What do you do when you fall down? Well, first you look around and see if anybody saw you. It's humiliating. But what do? You get up. You don't need a seminar. You don't need you don't need a motivational coach to come along and say, hey, listen, here's what you got to do. Take your hands, push up. You can do this. You can do this. You're walking along. You fall. Up in the Northeast, people right now are slipping and falling, right? So now what? Brother Sam once said, he said, older people now, the older I get, when you fall, you wonder, what else can I do while I'm down here? Amen? Because you don't want to waste it. Imagine if every time somebody fell, they just stayed there. The face of the planet would be covered with people who had fallen. They fell and stayed there. You just have to step over people everywhere you go. You say, oh, there's another one. He fell once and he just stayed there. It's a ridiculous notion. And that's the point that God is making. It's an analogy that God makes to a people who have fallen but who do not have to stay there. For a child of God to trip and fall and just say, I'm done, is just as foolish. Pastor, I'm glad Christians today have more common sense, more wisdom than to fall and just stay there. Well, as a pastor, let me just tell you, I'm glad for the ones who have enough wisdom and character, because there are empty spots in these pews of people who fell. Maybe it was a third or fourth time. And they listened to the devil or the enemy or their selfish selves, and they stayed there. And I am very glad tonight for the promise and the provision of God to his people. That you know what? I was on military trail years ago, and I saw a bird. I was waiting at the light, and I saw a bird flying, and a car was coming, and it hit the car and fell. And you know, anytime you see something like this, it's like, oh, you feel bad. My heart was broken, and I looked at it, and I said, come on. And you know what he did? He fluttered a while, and he got up, and he shook it off, and he flew away. And I thought, there you go. Shake it off. You know what, to a lot of Christians, what I do in counseling, all I do is say, shake it off. Brush yourself off. Get up and go. Because a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Sometime during this year, you're going to trip. It's not necessarily sin. Could be discouragement, a mistake. Could be an attack. Could be financial, it could be physical, could be at work. If you're a child of God with a testimony, you've got enemies. And yes, it could even be sin. Sometime this coming year, you're going to fall, and the devil's going to tell you to stay there. Just remember what God says. A just man falleth seven times, and he rises up seven times. So that the last thing you see, no matter how many times he's fallen, is he standing. It's not in his own strength. It's by the grace and the mercy of God, and it takes faith. It takes faith to get up again. Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that though your people are cast down, though they fall, they are never utterly cast down. And thank you that because of this promise, Lord, we know we can finish our race. Help us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we run with race, with patience, the race set before us. Bless your people to that end. And we pray, God, as we consecrate this year that you've given us to you, that every day that stretches out before us will be a day in which we follow you. And when we trip in that following, or if we fall in that following, we'll recognize that we can get back up and continue for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.